Hello and welcome. This is Teen Tice, the Great British Wrestling Podcast for Great British Wrestling, as featured on BodySlam.net. And you know the drill. We've been 2 weeks away, so we've got news for pretty much every major promotion in the country right now, including Progress, Refro UK, ICW, TNT Extreme, 1PW, Wrestle Carnival, North Wrestling NCL, Soft Pro Wrestling, and I mentioned, and just about every other promotion that we do like to talk about on this channel. And how you doing, Dan? It's been 2 weeks. Hi.
Hello. Well, I missed you.
We did do the Super Bumper review show, which thank you so much for tuning into. If you did, of course, we did that on a live stream basis on Twitter. Got some excellent reactions to it. So thank you so much for tuning into Big Daddy Dan's review of 1PW, and of course my review of the WXW Tag Team Festival. And I was also joined by Kieran and Mark, who told me about New Japan Wrestling.
God, I need to clean my ears out. It sounded like you said the Tag Team Testicle.
No, the Tag Team Festival. Don't say things like that. But yes, it was a fantastic weekend. I probably will talk a little bit more about it at the end of the show. But to be honest, I think since I'm probably going to end the show with talking about some stuff, why don't you kick off the show talking about some stuff? Because I believe you were somewhere this weekend, weren't you?
I was. I had to travel miles and miles. In fact, technically, not even that. I managed to go to a show that was just under 2 miles from my house. It was lovely.
Always good.
It was wonderful. myself and Stephen Southern, the tribal chief of the Big Fat Geeks, went along to UBW's Hurricane Rana 2. This was UBW's biggest show they've had so far. Well over 200 people. I'd say close to 250 in attendance. And it was really lovely. There were 6 matches, and there was a thank you to CJ Carter. CJ was a big, big part of UBW, and it was great to have this.
And a great friend to the show. Always liked and shared us. And, of course, we do have that interview with him, an excellent veteran. I hope that he somehow keeps himself, you know, if he can develop into a coaching role somewhere, maybe that would be fantastic. He is a classical worker, if you like.
Yes. Well, we started off with Harrison Leon versus Tony Sinn. The crowd love Harrison Leon. He's got a big upside. He's about 6'5", 6'6", possibly even taller than that. Very flexible. Good worker, the crowd love him, and give it 3 or 4 years, and he is going to be in the Natural Progression series without any doubt. He took on Tony Sinn, an evil, evil man, and in the end, unfortunately, lost to Tony Sinn. Jackson Hart took on Ricky Calvert. Good match. Jackson Hart was the... hold on a minute. Where'd my notes go? I've lost my notes. No. I've done it to you.
I've done it to me. Unprepared.
I know. Unprepared. Exactly. Ricky Calvert wins after an interruption by Joshua King. We haven't heard the last of Joshua King. We then had West Side Heat versus the Odyssey, but Big Josh was injured and wasn't going to be able to wrestle. Smashing Mike, being the man and a half that he is, took on both members of the Odyssey, Artemis and Adonis Payne,
who are also members of the meme team.
And they did have memes on the outside, who, of course, was a good overseer who didn't interfere. Well, it was memes, let's be honest.
You know, I don't know how all this has happened, but apparently we're now the official Meme Team podcast.
Whoop, whoop. Artemis is great. She's going to be another big star. Adonis Payne, we've talked about before, and I do want to have him on the podcast soon. They went up against Smashing Mike, and boy, Smashing Mike was as energetic as ever. He was all over the ring. He was flying around. He was
taking that man
down.
Doesn't get tired.
Man doesn't get tired. Given the big hits, but unfortunately the numbers game did end up overpowering him. And Smashing Mike lost. He lost the tag team titles to the Odyssey. So the tag team titles are in possession of the Meme team. Memes was quite possessive of Artemis's belt. He kept taking it off her. It was quite rude.
Wait, no, as the official Meme Team podcast, we're supposed to be happy about this, aren't we?
Well,
yay!
I'm happy for the youngsters, but you know,
I know it's Smashing Mike, and Smashing Mike's our boy, but somehow, some way, I don't know how you've done it. It may be Steven, but apparently, I saw it on Twitter, and
I think so, Steven has more influence. So, we then had Josh Spicer versus Joshua King. And this was the Young Lions Championship. And Josh Spicer was over like Rover. Joshua King, powerhouse wrestler, powered him the way through. Spicer ended up winning and retaining his belt after an interruption from Jackson Hart. So this is to pay back Joshua King for his interruption earlier. There was lots of arguments between the two. We then had our thank you, CJ Carter. CJ came out and Charles Crowley introduced him and said that he'd had his best matches with CJ, and without CJ, there would be no Charles Crowley. There was a round of applause for CJ. Everyone really appreciates him. Everyone loves what he did. He was a huge part of UBW and he is still loved. And we then had the halftime break where they always have photos with fans in the ring, and lots of the fans were asking CJ to come into the ring and do the photos with them, which was really lovely as well. After the break, we had Rein Leverkusen, who I don't know much of. She is the heavy metal hero, and she was taking on Memes. Memes is a big old boy. He's about 6'4", 6'5". He's about 300 pounds. He is a chunk of a man. Rein, a little bit smaller. A lot smaller. About a foot and a bit smaller. And probably weighs about half of what Memes does. Fought valiantly, fought fast, and got the surprise win after a little bit of a mistake between the Dream Team, between the Meme Team, and Rein managed to get the roll up for the win. We then had our main event, and it was a coffin match. It was Mr. Charles Crowley versus Truman Roswell, and the crowd were actually split. Truman was getting quite a lot of cheers. Good match. Charles Crowley was his usual entertaining self. We do love the carnival twat. He is fantastic. Truman Roswell, really good wrestler, really great. And retained after Tony Sin came out and threw water in the ref's eyes, his holy water, threw water at Charles Crowley, blinding him, and ended up with Charles Crowley being put in the coffin. Smashing Mike then ran out to run off Truman Roswell. And after CJ Carter came to try and stop Tony Sin and Truman Roswell picking on Charles Crowley in the coffin, Smashing Mike came out to the defense of CJ Carter. And it was announced that Smashing Mike is the new number one contender for Truman Roswell's belt. And he will be fighting Truman Roswell on the 5th of November in Royston in Hertfordshire.
This is just one big conspiracy against Truman Roswell, obviously.
Obviously. And yes. That, if you remember our podcast interview that we did with Smashing Mike, can you remember who he said his dream match was going to be? Truman Roswell.
It was.
And it is going to happen.
That's it. Come on, Teen Tights podcast, and call your shot.
Yep, we're going to have to send Stephen there because I'm DJing that night. That will be 3.5 sugars. Thank you so much, UBW, for having us, and we look forward to reporting on your shows as ever. I'd also like to say there were quite a few people there watching that were wrestlers who were there to support CJ on this night. We had the fantastic Tommy Kyle there. We had Clementine there, and we had Stevie Turner there. Yes, that was really nice. Big shout out to the guys from Hellfire Designs who met up with there as well.
Always good folks over there at Hellfire Design. Best belts in the business. Just
hell yeah.
saying it. Just putting it out there. But yeah, it sounds like a really fun show. I know, obviously, Stephen Salden was there as well. He's become very much a regular UBW guy. They've got another show coming this month.
There is a Square One show in Stevenage this month, and then there is the main show in Royston on the 5th of November.
There we go. I'll say it looks good and fun. Before we get on to some progress news, I watched the latest addition to the Demand Progress, and it was their Deadly Viper Tour. El Birmingham, codenamed California Mountain Snake. Millie McKenzie defeated Laura DiMatteo. Millie McKenzie is over, so popular with the Progress crowd, and she looked so happy to be in the ring. Peter Tahani won his Natural Progression Series 8 qualifying match in a fatal four-way against Alexander Roth. Harry Singh and Tom Farewell. This is a very short match. Each person was given a little bit of time to shine, a couple of minutes to show what they can do. I hope to see more of what Peter Tahani can really go against Ricky Knight Jr. when he faces from the next show that will be available on Demand Progress next weekend. Aussie Open then defeated CPF. I mean, really, I think we all knew Aussie Open was going to... Sorry, guys. We love you, man, but Aussie Open just literally the best tag team in the world right now. And
yep.
Shigehiro Irie defeated Gene Money. I wish it was longer. I wish Gene Money could have got himself into a real serious mode and gone to war with Shigehiro Irie, because I saw Shigehiro Irie in some absolute battles on WXW, and yeah, I feel like he and Gene could have really torn the place down if Gene Money had let go and let rip. I think really these two could have probably had a massively fantastic match, but they wanted to give the guys time in the next match, which was the Calamari Drunken Kings, Chris Brooks and Masahiro Takanashi versus Kid Lykos and Kid Lykos 2. Lykos Jim, they were given plenty of time to work here. CDK are phenomenal, really amazing tag team. I obviously got to see a lot of them while I was over in Germany because they were part of the World Tag Team Festival. And Masahiro is, for me, one of the best wrestlers in the world, especially for somebody who doesn't wrestle in his typical Japanese strong style. He wrestles much more of a European catch style, lots of joint manipulation, lots of chain wrestling, moving from one hold to the other, and he's seamless, and he's got amazing facials that can make you just absolutely bust out in hysterics. So yes, this was particularly really, really good. Big Damo and Luke Jacobs went to war for the second time. They beat the crap out of each other, with Big Damo coming out on top to take the Atlas title from Luke Jacobs. I can see why, but Luke Jacobs, well, of course, Luke Jacobs is currently injured, and we'll get to that in just a little while, if you bear with us when we get to the Adam Callier. Sunshine Machine, TK and Chuck Mambo wrestled a typical Sunshine Machine match against Violence Is Forever. I wish they had got into a more of a Violence Is Forever match, because Violence Is Forever is literally not just a motto. It is exactly how they wrestled every match when they were at WXW, having some of the best hard hitting strong style matches in the tournament. And I wish we got to see a little bit more of that. We got to see some of it, but it was more of a Sunshine Machine match than it was a Violence Is Forever match. Kanji defeated Lana Austin and her Lana Austin experience, as she was accompanied by L.A. Taylor and Sky Smithson. But Kanji managed to overcome the odds and win the championship, because that's what she does all the time. She overcomes the odds and wins.
And does it well.
She does it well. Just every time she overcomes the odds and wins. She's almost like the John Cena of Progress Women's Division. Spike Trevais then defeated Man Like Darius with a lot of help with his new Hitman for Hire, the Man in Black, the Dark Angel Bullet, who has been making a name for himself over on the southern coast of the UK and over at Reach Wrestling as well. I know he's been doing a lot of work. But big guy, really big guy, to be honest, he's giant. I just hope Spike Trevais doesn't lean on him too much during matches. He certainly leant on him a lot in this match. I think we can't forget that Spike Trevais is a tremendous wrestler, and we should also be allowed to really see that in his matches with him not being overly reliant on a big hitman. Of course, this will probably get Bullet Beano over on a lot, and probably once he turns on him, of course. So I'm sure he's got a big future. He's a ginormous guy, and he seems to be quite a good at using his size, quite adept, and that's always good for a big man. Overall, I would give this show 3.5 sugars. It was better than I thought. This was better than Handshakes and Cheeseburgers. Oh, by the way, while I was out in Germany, I actually met the gentleman who actually did the that review for Grapple Theory. He was out there. I actually met him while I was out there. And you know what? He's a very nice guy, and I spoke to him. I don't think he had any malicious intention. He just personally didn't like some of the things. So there's a couple of things, obviously, I did disagree with him on, particularly the Tate Mares and the Effie, who I thought put on a great show and are great performers. But I don't think he actually went out with any malicious intention to. I just don't think he enjoyed it as much as he was hoping to. I think overall, I think, you know, sometimes promoters, wrestlers, you know, I mean, I know we're in no place to judge. We really tell you guys how to do your jobs because we're nobodies who just, we're marks who have a podcast. So at the end of the day, our opinions mean absolutely nothing, or they can mean something to you. It's completely up to you guys. If you feel like we can give you some valid points, listen to us. If you don't, yeah, you know, tell us to go shut up. Either way, just communicate with us in the comments. While we're at it, like and share the video because, you know, it helps with those YouTube algorithms and really pushes us. Let's promote British wrestling as much as we possibly can because that's what we do here on the Tea and Tights, the Great British Wrestling Podcast. For now, I'm going to kick it to me earlier today with Adam Kellyer. Adam Kellyer from the Daily Star. I had a great chat with him about the most recent Progress show. And let's drop into that.
Bye.
Why, thank you. Well, me, because I would have just handed it off to myself and Adam, because Adam Kellyer from the Daily Star, professional Twitterer as well, as he's going to talk to us about the very recent Progress show. It was Sidewinder, wasn't it?
Yep, Sidewinder in Manchester.
Excellent. Do you want to just give some of the background about yourself, Chris, very quickly?
Yeah, I've been at Daily Star for about a year now, kind of with a main focus on wrestling and bringing it into the news side rather than the sports side because they weren't doing much with it. I've been a wrestling fan since 1999. Not going to tell you my age, but yeah, always been a fan, always been into British wrestling as well. So yeah.
Well, I'll let you know that mine actually starts at the 90s and I'm definitely not going to tell you my age. I like to think I get away with it with a bit of a baby face, except for when my hair goes long. Whenever my hair goes long, I just seem to look old. But we're getting a little off track because, as you say, you were at the very recent Manchester show, Progress Wrestling, part of their Deadly Viper tour. Let us know what happened, what your thoughts. There's definitely a couple of questions and things I like to talk about. I'm sure you know which ones. And we'll go for it.
Yeah, so the show, it was about 450, 500 people in attendance, which is really good for the Ritz in Manchester. It makes it look pretty packed. And it kicked off with Millie McKenzie and Alexis Falcon. Couldn't have asked for a better opening match, to be fair. The crowd were dead into it. Brilliant match, massive back and forth the whole time. Two excellent pros at the top of the game, and Millie won, which the crowd loved. But it wasn't the last you would see of Alexis for the night either. And then that was followed by Elijah versus Tom Dawkins. Obviously, Tom can't do the Cara Noir thing because the whole thing was Spike banning it. And it was quite funny to see Tom essentially coming out like your basic creator pro wrestler template from like a really old WWE game. And he had the most generic theme music. It was very funny. It was the complete opposite to Cara. And then obviously you had him trying to do Cara's moves and Spike came out and you had the F off Tory Wanker chants all the time. So, yeah, that was funny. And Elijah actually won because of, you know, Spike getting in the way and causing a distraction. So the crowd weren't too happy with that. But I'm hoping this feud is building to something pretty big. There should be a big payoff because it's been really good so far. So that was followed by a first round match for the Natural Progression Series 8 tournament, which is Progress's kind of like, how do we spotlight younger talent in a tournament thing. This was Tate Mayfairs versus Sam Bailey. Sam obviously being Manchester born and bred. Crowd went dead into him. Tate was just being Tate, driving everyone up the wall. He's had a back and forth with Simon Miller, which is definitely building to something. It was very, very funny. Tate won. Crowd went into it, but it's Tate, so you kind of have to love it anyway. It was, to be fair, he's very, very, very good. It's the first time I've seen him wrestle in person. He's very good. Definitely got a big future ahead of him. Then we had Nina Samuels against Tonga. For some reason, and I think everybody agreed, the crowd were just not there totally all night. It was a bit low. Nothing to do with the show, nothing to do with the talent. But it really showed in this match that Nina, with her big entrance with the spotlight and the director's chair kind of thing, crowd just weren't there. Just like a completely dead reaction, which is a shame because she's good.
I wonder, sorry not to cut you off there, but I wonder if they had maybe switched the matchups and had Nina Samuels go against Millie McKenzie, have her complain about Millie stealing the spotlight returning the week before Nina did, could have really got the crowd against her. And Tonga and Alexis Falcon have great chemistry, always have done, and they're well known to the Manchester audience as a heel face. So I wonder if that possibly...
Possible. Plus, I think a lot of people wanted to see Tonga win. You know, she's very, very good. And she's kind of doing this whole new gimmick of like your favorite TikTok star. Never seen her on TikTok personally. But, you know, it would have been nice to see her win, but she didn't. Nina won. And then Nina kind of had a trophy, the Nina Samuels Award at the end of it, that she, of course, handed to herself, which brought Alexis out for a really good promo, and the very non-PG version of which is on the Deadly Star Twitter, saying how the women like Alexis and Kanji and all that have built that women's division up over the past year from nothing. And it's led to a match. I think it's going to be in Cardiff, the two of them.
Yeah.
I'm not mistaken. So yeah, that'd be good. I think it's just a short-term feud. I'm pretty sure it's not going to build up to much after that. But it was a good promo by Alexis. She's kind of in prime right now. She's really good on the mic. Then we had a break, and we had Kid Lykos versus Luke Jacobs. This was supposed to be Lykos Jim versus Luke and Ethan.
Yeah.
But Ethan's obviously, I don't know if people have seen it on Twitter, he's taken a step back to let an injury heal for the rest of the year. So Lykos won, but about a minute from the end, Luke Jacobs went down with a proper injury, had the X sign from the ref. Crowd totally quiet. Lykos still won. It is what it is. And then backstage afterwards, there was a lot of commotion over Luke's injury. He went to hospital. He is thankfully okay. He's got a slight dislocation in his elbow, looking at a couple of months out. Which is a shame for him. It's probably him done for the rest of the year. Even though he's had really
such a great year.
Yeah. Very good year. And now that's both him and his tag team partner out for the year. So it's a big shame.
Hopefully, when they can return, it'll be together. And that'll be quite nice.
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah. Then we had another natural progression match. This I called the Slater Derby. This was Leon Slater versus Liam Slater. Never seen either of these two guys wrestle. This was brilliant. This was surprisingly technical. Liam, he calls himself, I think it's like the new age wrestler or something like that. It was very, very good, very technical. Leon won, obviously, with his high flying style. The finish is actually on Twitter. I think it was a 450. Very good, very impressive in person. And there's a lot more to come from those two. I'm not surprised if that's the last you see
of Leon. Oh, that was the one-legged 450 I saw, yes.
Yeah.
Very, very, very unique.
Yes. To be fair, I think he was selling a bit of a foot injury. Yeah. And
look good,
I
though.
Would like to see those two run it back, because it was very good. Then we had the Super Smash Mob 12 match. I don't know how to describe this because it was absolute chaos.
Yeah.
There's two sides to this. There's the in-person side and there's the what you see online side. Basically, the short version of this is that that fans would give them a chance to vote on whether they wanted 2-on-2-on-2-on-2, etc. Or 3-on-3, 4-on-4, whatever. They went with 3 versus 3 versus 3 versus 3. The tag teams were Mike Bird. You know what? I've just got a whole list of names in front of me and I can't remember who was on which team. The teams are on the internet. Have a look. Basically, most of it was Gene Money not wanting to be there, both in character and out of character. It was hilarious. He was just on the side going, I don't want to do this, shouting as loud as possible. It was very funny. It was a spot fest. It was a lot of spots. And in person, in the crowd, it was fantastic. It was a brilliant match to be there for and to see moonsaults, 450s, cutters off the ropes, people standing on each other's shoulders, diving onto everybody. Brilliant to watch, very, very entertaining, and it probably isn't the last you'll see of this match.
Mm-mm.
Online, there are some spots that have caused controversy.
Yes.
Yes. Feel free to ask any questions at this point about this match.
Well, because I saw the Shooting Star one, and I think that looked fantastic. It looked a little bit less contrived and probably a little less time to set up. But you see Josh Orlando hit from turnbuckle to floor, Callum Newman from turnbuckle to in the ring, same with Omari at that same time. And then you've got TK Cooper hitting the Shooting Star, his running Shooting Star press off the side apron, which I think is excellent. That spot is insane and it's really, really good. I'm gonna kind of agree with the online side of things, and certainly because, but I can understand where, because my thing was when I was watching, I was going, yeah, better live crowd absolutely ate that up. But yes, you can certainly see online, you can see just people, why are people standing there? Oh, this has taken too long to set up. It's so I'm gonna raise a question, it might be a little controversial. I don't know where Progress still, whether they do this, but should they maybe have match producers?
They do.
Oh, they do?
But this was new for everyone.
Yeah.
And it was very, I think the impression I got was it was difficult for everybody involved to work out how to do this when it's such a brand new concept. Didn't really have time to go through it when you have the fan votes and stuff.
12 people in the ring at the same time, never easy.
Yeah, so I'll give them credit, they really, really try the best, all of them. And that spot that's caught fire online, in person, you actually didn't click what was going on outside the ring. You didn't notice that everybody was slowly just walking around and waiting for it to happen. You just saw what was going on in the ring. You just saw people climbing on each other's shoulders, climbing on the ropes, whatever. You didn't click what happened until you saw it online. And then it's a bit like, I just think it was the match itself could have been handled better. Maybe less people, maybe less spots, maybe more storytelling, I guess. However, the ending was fantastic. And I think that's got lost on a lot of people. Mike Bird with the power driver off the top rope, which was just insane. Obviously, the winner of the match got a championship opportunity with any title of their choice. which ended up being him actually turning around to his tag team partners and saying, you two can have a tag team title shot as well whenever you want. I don't know if that was planned. Just randomly happened. And Mike's challenged Spike for Cardiff for the title. And he gave a killer promo at the end about the kind of people that, you know, obviously Spike's perceived as a Tory, even though he's never said that.
Yeah.
That's a side point.
I remember interviewing him about that.
Yeah, it's mad. like all the people the Tories have trod on and whatever. And there's a personal story from Mike. Progress have actually put the promo online. It's very, very good.
Have you seen the response just released?
Nope.
It's literally just been released. It's Spike Trevay walking through. He's stolen Gene's gimmick because it looks like he's walking through the woods walking his dog. But he's so good. He is so good at just talking and delivering. And it's so good. You have to see it. It's on Progress Twitter right now.
But yeah, the kind of all the chaos of that match, the end, it was a brilliant ending. It kind of got lost, which is a bit of a shame. But there are lessons to learn for everyone involved. I wouldn't do away with the concept. There is something there that worked.
Yeah.
And also, I really think it should have ended the show rather than being where it was, because after it, there was Rio versus Sky Smithson. Dead crowd, nobody cared. Everyone was worn out, and it's not a knock on the two in the ring because it was just unfortunate that they had to follow it.
Yeah, because I can imagine that being a very hard hitting match with the two ladies involved.
Yeah, it was. Rio won, and it was to do with the Lana Austin experience, and then Lana and LA Taylor and Sky beat up Rio after, and Millie McKenzie came out. So that's building to a tag team match as well. But yeah, there's not much more to say about that. It just got a bit lost, really. Although Lana did karaoke pre-match, which was classic Lana Austin.
She's amazing right now. She really is one of the best things in British wrestling, Lana Austin.
Her and Spike are probably the two best at the minute.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't put the belt on Lana very soon. I mean, I think I would take advantage of it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and then the last match was Dan Maloney versus Spike Trevay, not for the title. And as soon as they said this is not for the title, you kind of knew what was going to happen, which was a bit of a shame.
Yeah.
But Dan won, which I get. I mean, in reality, it took a lot of people by surprise, because why have your champion lose clean like that? But storyline-wise, it made sense because he's never beaten Spike before. There was a lot of personal beef, and it was a nice payoff. To their little feud. There was a weird spot in the match. You don't know if you've seen it, with Progress Supervan Charlie Crothers.
Yeah.
I can't not mention it. The fun story behind that, to be fair, is that Dan had no idea who Charlie was. It wasn't planned. It was completely off the cuff. And Charlie will dine off that for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, overall, the show was very good. It was just a shame the crowd wasn't as into it as they were 6 months ago when Progress was last in Manchester. And someone made the point that actually Manchester's been wrestled out recently, like show after show after show, lots of shows. You've had Soft Pro, you've had Future Shock's anniversary show, you've had a lot in Manchester. So maybe it was to do with that. But overall, it was a good show, it was a good watch.
Yeah, it sounds like it would. I look forward to catching it. It will be on the WWE Network. Of course, it will be on Demand Progress as well. I think I probably covered most of the questions I was going to ask there. Okay, I'm going to go the Natural Progression series. You mentioned what it's supposed to be. I felt where you had two guys in the Super Smash match, Keenan and 2-Bit, should have been in the Natural Progression series, and Mike Bailey and Liam Slater should have been in that main event. It just seemed very strange to have such tenured veterans, because Liam Slater is a 10-year veteran and currently the North Wrestling NCL champion. Yeah, look, I get RKJ is the Repro UK champion, but he's also under 21 years old. And it's probably the best route to get him into the championship picture as quick as you can.
I think from a Progress perspective, Liam Slater's relatively new.
No, yeah.
It's his progress debut.
Yeah.
The one point someone made to me, and I do agree with it, I don't think Ricky Shane Page should be in the Natural Progression Series at all.
Wait, Ricky Shane Page?
Is it Ricky Shane Page? Who's in the... Is it? I'm sure he's in the Natural Progression Series.
No, no, I'm sure he can't be. It was because it was RKJ and Peter Tahani. If you got him to see Peter Tahani, he's phenomenal. I hope Progress use him more often. As you say, I'm very, very, very impressed seeing him live in Germany, and he is now my wife's favorite wrestler.
I'm trying to have a quick Google. I'm sure he's in it.
He's been announced for something coming, but I don't think,
because they said he was going to be in the quarterfinal. So I could be wrong, but I'm 99% sure. You're probably going to want to cut this out.
Yeah, no, it's Joe Lando versus Nico Angelo in the final quarterfinal match.
Yeah.
So yeah, but Sam Bailey is, well, a 20-year veteran, one of the best teachers in the business. I think you could have given him his more of his moment in the main event.
Yeah.
Danny Potter. I love Tate Mayfair. I think he's. I've noticed he has drawn some divisive lines with some wrestling fans. Not sure if he's too over the top. I don't think so. I think Tateness is pure greatness. I look forward to seeing much more of Tate. I expect him to be in the finals of the Natural Progression Series because he'll be facing either Joe Lando or Nico Angelo, who we'll just talk about in just a second. And it's going to be Liam Slater versus RKJ. I know they have faced off before, I think, for British Wrestling Revolution. But it's been a couple of years maybe, and it should be an extremely good match.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you've heard us, we give it the sugar rating rather than the star rating because we are TNTites. How many sugars would you give it?
What are we talking, out of five?
Out of 10? Yeah, out of five.
The whole show?
Yeah, the whole show.
3.5, considering the run Progress has been on lately with good shows, I would give it 3.5. It wasn't the best, it wasn't the worst, but it was better than an average show because of the chaos of that match.
Yeah.
And also the opening match as well, to be fair, was very, very good.
I just saw the bonus show, which is now available on WWE Network and Demand Progress. And yeah, personally, I gave that show a good 4 sugars. He said that one was a very, very good show. Really looking forward to Return of the Fly, which will be available this weekend on WWE Network and Demand Progress. And then, of course, this most recent show, Sidewinder, will probably be on the following week. But let's talk about Cardiff very quickly. It is the next stop on the Deadly Viper Tour. Mike Bird will challenge Spike Revay for the Progress World Championship in Cardiff. It seems like they're just lining up heroes for him to knock down at the moment, and I like it. It's storytelling 101. He's going everywhere and crushing the hero.
Yeah, I mean, it just makes sense. Line him up, it'll knock him down.
Mm.
He needs... They played hot potato with the title for a while.
Yes.
So keep it on Spike for as long as you possibly can. There needs to be a big match before he loses it. So yeah, I mean, it's going to become predictable for the crowd, but Spike has the ability to make them invest in the match he's in, regardless of who he's up against.
Yeah, he's very much in vein of the, let me just count that off, the fourth Progress World Champion, who I just don't really want to name. Right, might be fifth. Nathan. I don't want to mention him. It's the fifth champion, and he held it till he was defeated by Will Ospreay, and he was a lot of the reason Progress got a lot of notoriety because of how hated he was by the crowd. Yet, you know, he would always win, but yet he would always get his comeuppance as well, and I think that always managed to send the fans home happy. Even when he won, and he was just so much fun to hate. I think Trevay can replicate that in a way. I think he is the new villain of, and I read an article by one of the media guys I met out in Germany, actually. And yeah, he'd written down that Spike Trevay is the best villain in Europe right now. And Yeah, 100%. There's really nobody.
I mean, even just looking at the progress roster, there's nobody better.
No.
I mean, compare it to Rev Pro roster, Sov Pro, anyone. I can't really think of anybody that is better than him at the minute.
Osprey, I guess. Well, but he doesn't hold it anymore. So FSU are going to be in action. I believe this is the second time they're going to be in action for Progress. And they're facing Omari, a man like Darice, who I'm assuming who was on Mike Bird's team. It's because it does seem like a weird connection. Although Omari is a Birmingham lad, isn't he? I know he's the OTT champion right now, but I'm sure he came up in Birmingham scene.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So he could easily fit into their 0-1-2-1. Yeah. What do you think of this matchup?
I think it'll be good, but I think there's only one winner. to be honest, FSU. I was in Cardiff for Clash Weekend, and Dennis, just his entrance alone is fantastic. It just turns into a mosh pit. So yeah, it'll be a great match. Great to see those two guys back together. It just makes the hometown crowd happy, to be fair.
The final quarterfinal natural progression series is Just Joe Lando versus Nico Angelo. Whoever wins this will go on to face Tate Mayfez at some point. Where do you think the chips lie?
I don't necessarily think it matters because Tate's winning anyway, but I'm going to go with Nico Angelo. Really good talent, really impressive. Just like to see more from him, to be honest.
And part of the Cardiff native, so he'll be a hometown hero against Joe Lando, who will always be popular with the crowd. But yeah, I think Nico's probably going to get the edge. And Greedy Souls.
Just to go back slightly, by the way, when I said Ricky Shane Page, I meant Ricky Knight Jr.
Oh, Ricky Knight Jr. That's not a problem. Me and Dan argued this one, but what I argued was because RKJ is under 21, he technically fits the mold and natural progression. And I just think it's an easy route to get him to Spike Treve as quickly as possible. It's just... So I've let him off for that one. But Ricky Knight Jr., as you say, he's probably one of the biggest stars in the UK right now. Top 5.
Yeah.
So we got Greedy Souls versus the Sunshine Machine for the Tag Team Championships in Cardiff. Can the Welsh boys take it home?
They can, but I don't think they will. Sunshine Machine are just on a roll, plus they have beach balls. So the two guys are brilliant as well.
I think if anyone can, I wouldn't mind seeing the Greedy Souls become, because again, they've been on an absolute tear. Obviously, they had the recent program, during the non-fan era. They were good, but not the best. But now they've really just started to gain some momentum, and I feel like... could be time to maybe move it on. And the most recent announced match is Raven Creed versus Tonga. Give us your final thoughts on that matchup.
I want to see Tonga win. I like Raven Creed. I like the gimmick. I like everything about her, but I just want to see Tonga win because I want to see her get a push. And there's also, she's trying to join the Lana Austin experience. And I just think that'd be brilliant.
Yeah.
So out of place, but it'd be very, very funny if she joined.
Would be very, very interesting. Maybe sneak in and then destroy it from within and become the new. That would be a very good storyline. What do you think the future's kind of holding for Progress? And what do you think of the new management as a whole and how they've been doing?
There are plans that I can't say that I know about. Everything's embargoed in the news all these days. There are a lot of big plans for Progress. A lot of big plans that will take people by surprise. That will not just grab headlines in the wrestling world. That's all I'm going to say.
I think they're more active than Progress seem to be, more shows than they used to be. I think that they're really being very active with the amount of shows that they've been pushing out.
Yeah, so when they took over this year, the new owners, they were locked into dates from previous owners, nothing they could do with that. They added their own dates on top. So they've put out quite a lot of shows. Which is good. It's good to see. And they've got a lot of plans. They've already released the London dates for next year. As far as I'm aware, there's another Manchester date at the beginning of Feb. Yeah, they want to do more in the around the country, but they also want to do more elsewhere. That's all you're getting out of me.
I would love to see some sort of progress WXW thing going on, because we have seen Maggot being very, very well receptive to the progress audience. Peter Tahani's just made his recent debut. He's somebody I've got my eye on for quite some time. But Adam, I'm really, really grateful for you joining us today. And yeah, anytime you want to come on and tell us about the latest progress show that you've been at that we may not have gotten to, we'd absolutely love to have you back on.
Oh, thank you for having me.
No worries. All right, back to me over on the main roundup. And we're back with us, of course, back now live, back with me, Big Daddy Dan, of course, not me and Adam earlier, but, you know, me and Dan now.
Hi!
Time travel, it's confusing. Anyway, let's talk about, I talked about it briefly with Adam, but let's go through it with Big Daddy Dan. Their next show is the final stop of the Deadly Viper Tour. It's codenamed Snake Charmer. It's at the Tramshed in Cardiff, Wales, on the 16th of August. October, sorry, what am I talking about? Mike Bird will be challenging Spike Trevade for the Progress World Championship. What are your thoughts?
I think that it will be a very, very good match. But I think that there is zero chance of Mike Bird winning, which makes it a little bit hard for me to be excited for it. But I know that Spike will put on an amazing show, and so will Mike.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'm very much similar with vein with you. Mind you, I'm of the similar vein that Spike Trevade should not lose his title anytime soon. But yes, I think we got to make it feel like Spike Trevade could lose his title at any moment. Yeah. And I think what you're saying is you're not sure that this is it. It's the Cardiff homeboy hero, and you know, it seems to be the story right now that Spike Trevade is traveling to all of these towns and he's crushing the hometown heroes. Eddie Dennis in Cardiff recently, man like Doris in Birmingham. So I think, yeah, Mike Bird is going to be a similar vein.
Speaking of Man Like Doris, though, FSU versus Amari and Man Like Doris is a match that I would love to see.
Definitely, definitely. As mentioned on our show, Amari technically is from the 0121. Will he join the 0121? Of course, Joe Lando and Nico Angelo are facing off against each other in the final semi-final of the quarter-final of the Natural Progression Series. Whoever wins this will go on to face Tate Mayfairs.
Tightness is greatness.
Tightness is greatness. And I do believe whoever wins is just going to be beaten by Tate, because tightness is greatness.
Now, what I do think there is a chance of a belt changing hands is our tag team match coming up. The Greedy Souls are going to challenge Sunshine Machine. Now, Sunshine Machine are the longest reigning Progress Tag Team Champions now, I believe.
Yep.
But you know what? Greedy Souls, I think it could be their time.
They've been on a massive roll, actually. Myself and Adam actually disagreed with this one, because he feels like Sunshine Machine will come away with the victory. I feel it's time to make the switch. I think time is for Greedy Souls. They've really been gaining so much momentum lately, and we love them as a tag team. They're big, they're bad, they're bruisers.
We love Sunshine Machine as well.
Yes. Don't get us wrong.
We love Sunshine Machine. They are great. But I think it's time for the Greedy Souls to take those belts.
But my wife, she doesn't like Sunshine Machine.
Everyone's entitled to their opinions.
She loves the Lycos gym. She loves the shitty little walls. Anyway, what's next?
Raven Creed versus Tonga.
Interesting matchup. Just almost heads or tails who could actually come out on top of this one. Both of them need the win in progress, so be an interesting match. And two great performers. I think they have faced off before, but it was during the no crowd era, so it'll be interesting to see where you have the crowd, presumably behind Raven Creed.
Yeah.
And last but not forget, the Progress will be working with Modern Nomad Pro Wrestling, who on the night previous, which is the 15th of October, will be presenting The House of Grappula, which features Dan Maloney versus Kid Lykos, Harrison Bennett versus Riho, Lee Hunter versus Harry Chapman, Experiment in Bolarama, Elijah and LK Messinger versus Lykos Jim, Nico Angelo and Kid Lykos 2, The Smoking Aces versus Eddie Dennis and Connor Mills.
Great lineup.
It is. Then Progress are finally back in the Electric Ballroom, Camden, London, for Chapter 145, Trick or Treat, which is on the 23rd of October, if I'm correct. I seem to have not written it down. But tell me about the rest of the show while I find a date.
RKJ will face Leon Slater in the first of the Natural Progression Series semi-finals. This will go down, like we say, at Trick or Treat. Big Damo will be
23rd.
Big Damo will also be in action as he is set to defend the Progress Atlas title. Baby Allison will be making her Progress debut, which is awesome.
The witch and... picture pro wrestling.
Oh, yes. Resting witch face. And FSU will also be in action. And it has been announced.
Let's talk Trick or Treat here. RKJ versus Leon Slater. I mean, my money's on RKJ. I think the only reason RKJ is in the Natural Progression Series is to give him a clear and concise, logical path to Spike Treve in a championship match. What do you think?
I think you're right.
I think they'll have a great match, though.
Oh, God, yeah.
Indeed. The other one, I love the fact that the witch bitch of pro wrestling, Baby Allison, finally makes her addition to Progress. I think she'll get a lot out of working with some of the amazing women that we have in the UK and the Progress division in particular. I think she'll really benefit from it. She's very flexible. She's very powerful. And she's got a very interesting, unique persona. Could be a definitely one for Trick or Treat, definitely one for a Halloween based show. FSU, let's think if they win their match on the previous show, could maybe line them up for a shot at Sunshine Machine in the Electric Ballroom Camden, where they could possibly steal the titles if Sunshine Machine retain. Let me know your thoughts.
I think they could take on the Greedy Souls in a battle of Welshmen.
It certainly could. Yes, yes, yes. That's definitely a possibility.
But I definitely think FSU will be challenging for the titles. I think you're right there.
Yeah. Former ROH heavyweight champion, the man cussed out and shouted down Mr. Tony Khan of AEW. He's making... Oh, he's a former Progress World Champion as well. I should mention that, of course, as well. Jonathan Gresham will be making his return to Progress on the 27th of November, which will be for Chapter 146. They think it's all over, of course, in honour of the Qatar Football World Cup. I know you're not a fan of football, but I'm sure you've heard the phrase, they think it's all over. It is now.
Yes, I do know enough of that. And particularly against the Qatar World Cup, for the number of people that have died in the preparation for it is absolutely appalling and disgusting. Jonathan Gresham...
Continue. Because, yes, I 100% agree with this. And is there anything more? Yeah, it's a horror. And, I'm not behind it. And I don't think I will be putting any money into supporting or watching the World Cup this year.
No. I think it's absolutely appalling. Jonathan Gresham coming back to Progress, I'm very excited about. Will he be demanding a match with Spike Treve, as he never really lost his title?
Very, very true. It'd be a great match. It would be a great match, and the fans would be behind Gresham, and Spike Treve could just crush him again.
Yeah.
I like your thinking. He's not going to be the only person out there. It's a former ROH star, the world famous Cheeseburger, who was part of the WXW Wildcard show. He'll be making his Progress debut, something he's wanted to do for a long time as well. So good luck to him.
It does show that Progress is a world-respected show. Everybody wants to be in Progress, and it is brilliant. Please subscribe to Progress On Demand if you don't already. Please watch Progress shows live. They are fun.
Right, we can't stop and go on from without talking about one thing, Progress. Daily Star. I did talk about it, Mr. Keller. But you seen the clip, the Daily Star. It got roasted online.
This would be the clip of Sunshine Machine doing the standing on the shoulders, jump into the crowd of people on the outside.
Yes. Well, Stanley Black also does a run and jump. And
well, to start with, I thought it was in slow motion. It takes a long time for them to do the move. Everyone's set up and is left standing there, not knowing whether to quote Steve Austin, shit or wind their watch. This was one move that wasn't particularly great.
For the live audience, this is where I'm going to come in and actually argue for the live audience. I think it's a great spot, and I'm sure the crowd went wild, and I'm sure they went, holy shit, holy shit, holy shit. But I didn't translate into...
You know why I think it probably didn't translate? Because it stayed on the hard cam the whole time. If it had been edited between a handheld and the hard cam, it would have come over at different timings. So it might just be an editing thing. Yes, I can understand why it got panned, but you know what? It was one spot in an overall brilliant card. Get over it.
Yeah. I think so too, but yeah, I'm not going to sit here and defend the spot in any way. I don't think it was a good spot, but you know, for the live crowd, I'm sure they really, really enjoyed it. I'm sure if I was there in the live crowd, it would have been absolutely amazing. But sitting on the video is not for me. Now let's move on. And as I say, amazing talents, every single one of those people in the ring. So you know. Nobody should be arguing that these guys shouldn't be wrestling. It's just one spot that didn't translate. Anyway, Rev Pro UK. Let's talk about the other biggest promotion in the UK, Rev Pro UK. Oh, so Live in Southampton was actually streamed live via their new demand, Rev Pro on demand service. I caught the second half of the show. It was a decent Live in Southampton show. It's not one of their big mad cars. So it introduced a lot of the younger performers.
It was a soft attempt at the live streaming. It wasn't something they made a big thing about in advance. It was, let's see how it goes. If it goes horribly wrong, not the end of the world, because it's Live in Southampton.
Yeah, it was, which is good. And as you say, I think, yeah, probably the right thing to do. I didn't even notice it had gone live. They literally just announced it on the day as they were going. I was like, oh, really? Shit. I'll go check this out, see how it went. And yeah, I love the idea. I think it's a good way to give fans an option, you know, to not miss all the action. I don't think it's going to take away from live audience attendance. I think a lot of promoters and promotions tend to fear this type of venture, of the fear of not having the fan attendance. But, you know, the Premier League is on every bloody week and they still draw crowds of 50, 60, 70,000. So
I'm not going to go to Southampton for a wrestling show.
Mm.
Although I've been further. I'm not going to go to Southampton for a wrestling show. I am going to go to St. Neots for a wrestling show. I am going to go to Huntingdon for a wrestling show. I will watch a show that's in Southampton.
Yeah. And even going into London is a bit of a pain in the arse. So live in London shows would probably not be at the top of my list either. But as you say, York Hall shows, it's worth the trip. And of course, they're in Stevenage. You're going to be there. But before we move on to that, it is, right, following the main event, which RKJ defeated Gabriel Kidd in a very good match, I want to give a massive shout out to Sapphire Reed and Maya Matthews, who are two amazing young women. With Sapphire, Chantel Jordan and Maya Matthews, That's a great young women's core division to build around in RevPro UK. And if they can do that successfully, because a lot of the other big promotions haven't used these three ladies yet. And to be honest, absolutely three of the top talents in the UK right now. And yeah, if RevPro UK can start to build something around that, we've said it for a long time, RevPro UK do not do enough to represent women in wrestling. But with this new young base, maybe we'll get to see a bit more, fingers crossed. But RKJ, after his main event win, he called out the Great Okan. All hail the Great Okan of the United Empire. This is because at the New Japan show, RKJ was pinned by the Great Okan, who is still undefeated in the UK. So it is the championship versus the undefeated streak at a upcoming York Hall show in December. I can't remember the date. I possibly think it's December 17th, but I can't be sure. But it's going to be RKJ versus Great Okan in a York Hall main event. I think is a great match. I think it's a good main event for a York Hall show, to be honest.
Yeah, definitely.
Now that they haven't got Mr. Will. But let's talk about the Super J Cup. You're going to be there. Who are the latest entrants?
Michael Oku and Leo Rush are the latest entrants.
Yeah,
my son is so excited that he's going to get to see Leo Rush. He is absolutely buzzing. So yeah, they are going to be joining the Super J Cup on the 22nd of October at the Gordon Craig Theatre in Stevenage. They're joining already announced Connor Mills, Robbie X, Leon Slater, and Will Caden.
Yeah. Six of the eight entrants, two more to go. I'm sure they'll have another big name, international name, join the talent. Be interesting to see who will be. But my money's still on Connor Mills to come out victorious at the end of it. I think it's Mills' time.
I was having to think about who the other entrants could be. Now, obviously, I want it to be Mike Bailey. We said that before. We discussed it before. Love it to be Mike Bailey. Another international, who do you reckon it could be? And my hope, my pray, and I know it's hugely unlikely because I don't think they've ever worked with him before. How cool would it be to have Vikingo come over here?
Yes, please.
I mean, allegedly, he's only being paid a couple of hundred dollars a match. So, go on, you can afford him. Get him in.
Yeah, Del Hideo, don't think. Yeah, or I wouldn't mind seeing Bandido as well. But Bandido's a big lad. I'm not sure if he's really actually truly... he says 225, probably. So, they do have the 225 limit. Luke Jacobs, of course, is injured, so he's not going to be part of it. It'll be interesting to see if they have him relinquished the Cruiserweight Championship, since he's going to be out probably for the rest of this year now. So that would be interesting to see. Maybe have the winner of the J Cup become the new champion. Other names, I like Ninja Mask. Maybe he'd be really interesting.
Ninja Mac,
sorry, yes. Someone from maybe New Japan. El Desperado would be an excellent addition.
Zack Sabre Jr. would be nice.
Zack Sabre Jr. would be very, very nice. And of course, in the main event, you've got Minoru Suzuki versus Dan Maloney, who are just going to slap and beat the crap out of each other.
Now, I'm thinking this could be almost on a level with that match that we saw with Gabriel Kidd versus Yota Tsuji.
Anyway, they are in action again on the next day, on October 23rd, with Live in London 66. The Sunshine Machine defend their RevPro UK Tag Team Championships against the Greedy Souls.
Have you ever heard of playing Deja Vu?
Yeah. Leo Rush will face Robbie X. Minoru Suzuki will face Yota Tsuji. That's a really, really interesting matchup. I talked about with Kieran whether what the options for Gabriel Kidd and Show Rumino, and where they kind of lie on their excursions, and whether he's going to see them return to the thing. I mean, because somebody who's already, for me, ready to go straight over to New Japan right now and be awesome is bloody Yoda Tsuji. So this should be good. Let's move on to some TNT Extreme.
TNT Extreme. There's lots of TNT Extreme.
Lots of TNT Extreme, yes.
I'll start off. Okay. Effie will make his TNT Extreme return on the 1st of December for Cold Day in Hell. Everybody loves a bit of Effie.
Yeah, I like Effie. I think he's a good talent. He is a hard worker in the ring. Whether there are things, I know a lot of people may say, oh, he's over the top, or he shouldn't do this, he shouldn't do that. I just think he's a great worker. If he can have some great matches, I think that's all that matters.
Yeah, it's fantastic, love it.
Mm.
But before that...
Yes, it's, of course, the TNT Extreme Rock and Wrestling Extravaganza. Extreme Fields on the 29th of October. Tate Mayfair will now be in action against Scotty Rourke. He was originally signed to play face Maggot, and I'm really disappointed that we're not going to get this match. But Tate Mayfair versus Scotty Rourke should be an absolute fantastic match. Visage laid out a challenge for Shamanay to answer, and they have accepted this.
We know that match is great.
Things are going to get extreme because Big Lou Nixon will challenge Clint Margera for the TNT Extreme Division Championship. Charles Crowley has become weirdly obsessed with James Greenwood and would like a match with the TNT Extreme. James Greenwood has turned him down, and I'm trying to tell Greenwood he is the only answer. Only Greenwood can stop Crowley. Because Greenwood is an agent of good. He enforces the rules. And without rules, there is chaos. There is Charles Crowley. Therefore, Greenwood, you are the only one that can defeat him. Please face him at Extreme Fields.
I love James Greenwood. I love Charles Crowley. They both have their roles. And they should not meet.
I'm breaking my own rules. I know I am, but I want it to happen.
I know, it'd be great if it happens, because Greenwood is just pure professionalism and wonderful and great and just a lovely person, and Charles Crowley's a fan.
That's why he is the only answer.
Yes.
Yes, okay, where are we?
Big Guns Joe will finally get their hands on Simon Miller.
Going to be a good... beefy matchup, Big Guns Joe and Simon Miller. We've had Chaos Wrestling have announced their matchup as part of the show, and it's going to be Brendan White defending the All Wales Championship against Harrison Bennett. I do apologise, I missed the fact that the She-Wolves will also be defending their tag team championships against the former champions, the Liver Birds. But as I say, Chaos have announced that Brendan White will defend the All Wales Championship against Harrison Bennett. And when we spoke to Mr. Brendan White, he couldn't put over Harrison Bennett enough.
Yeah.
So, should be interesting and good.
Another match that should be very interesting is Wrestle Island's match for the show, which is Harley Hudson looking to become a double Island champion. She faces Lance Rivera for the Island Championships. Now, Hudson did pin Rivera at the Extreme Field show to win the Power Up briefcase last time they had an Extreme Field. So it will be good to see this match return, and it will be good to see if Lance loses his gold. I do hope so.
Well, he's also been targeted recently by the returning Scott Oberman. So keep an eye on that, I guess. Interesting situations developing all the time in British wrestling. Another championship match has come to Extreme Fields as courtesy of Lancashire Wrestling Federation as David Getzey defends the LWF Championship against Aiton Steen.
We do like a bit of Aiton Steen.
Indeed. Infamous Wrestling, who we recently had the Violent Gentleman Society talk to us about Infamous, well, talk to yourself about Infamous Wrestling. And they are providing Joey Hayes and Dylan Roberts, two very underrated veteran great workers. And of course, there's always that North Wrestling NCL match that was announced earlier. Liam Slater defends the North Wrestling Championship in a fatal four-way with Leon Slater, Will Cruz, and Jack Bandicoot. And you've still got Surf Pro to announce their match for the show.
And let's be honest here, we know that there is no way that Surf Pro are going to be putting on a dud.
No. Whatever Surf Pro going to do, I'm sure it's going to be big. And Extreme Fields already is absolutely stacked. Of course, it's not just the wrestling. You've got the music. You've got the vendors. Our good friends, the United Wrestling Podcast, are actually going to be there. So big shout out to them. If we go there, I'm sure we'll go chat with the boys because they're always up for a good laugh and they like a good beer while watching their wrestling. So go check out United Wrestling Podcast while you're over there. There's going to be a costume contest. So, you know, dress up, have fun. It is going to be, the night before Halloween, which is, you know, the 29th. But it looks like it's going to be insane.
It does indeed. TNT Extreme will also be in action, as you say, on the 30th with Level Up from TNT Ignition. We do love a bit of Ignition. That will feature a 7-man ladder match for the TNT Ignition Level Up briefcase, which will feature Leon Slater, Jack Bandicoot, JJ Webb, Son of Durson, 2-Bit, and Tateness is Greatness himself, and somebody who I am starting to really enjoy watching a lot, Chase Alexander.
Yeah, I like Chase. He's cold, calculating, vicious. Could be an interesting heel in a few years. Of course, my beautiful wife, she does say he should put on some wrestling pants like a normal wrestler.
Wrestling pants?
Yes, wrestling tights. And stop wrestling in his waiter's outfit. Anyway, sorry. Don't hate us, Chase. It's just, you know, what the wife says. Anyway, Shreddy and Jimmy Jacobs will be teaming up to face Born Ready, RP Davis, and Rick Marcus, the Cumbrian Outlaw.
Gia Adams will take on Lucy Sky. Really like Lucy Sky. We saw her at Lancashire Wrestling Federation all those months ago. Great wrestler. Leon Gray versus Max Brooker and MVK
Falcabius
versus Sam Bailey.
Great matchup. Should be good to see MVK, I think, who's got tremendous upside, lots of talent, great size. Sam Bailey, of course, is an amazing veteran worker, so good to see Sam MVK get in the ring with the likes of Mr. Bailey.
Yes. But there's even more news from TNT, isn't there?
Bloody well is.
It never ends. TNT Extreme have announced that Dead or Alive, TNT's Extreme Deathmatch Tournament, will be taking place on the 4th of March, and Ali Catch has been announced as the first entrant.
Yeah, DOA is part of a double show that will also feature TNT Ignition, Sky's the Limit, with double show tickets available now. And it's not ended there. There has been one final major announcement very recently. Dead or Alive will not be the only deathmatch tournament next year, as TNT Extreme will be bringing their brand of violence to Birmingham with Phil Kill. No date has been provided yet, but more information will come soon. Do you reckon maybe DOA will be an all-women's deathmatch tournament again?
Honestly, don't know. Hope so, because it was amazing last time.
It'll be interesting to see an all-women's and an all-male
Thrill Death Kill match. Will be great for me because Birmingham's a hell of a lot closer than Liverpool.
There you go.
There's geography for you. Learn things on TNT.
Of course. Insane ICW. Championship Wrestling. ICW. Yeah.
They're bringing 2 days of insane action to Newcastle on the 22nd and 23rd of October at the Northumbria University. Dirty Django, the former Fandango, will be in action. Casey is set to face Lizzie Evo in what will be one of the best women's matches of the year, without doubt. Leighton Buzzard is going to have his hands full, isn't he?
He's facing off against Mr. Kick-Ass himself, Ian Skinner. The British Psycho, that's going to be a good match.
That's that is going to be a good match. That's two of your favourites.
Really is.
Two of my favourites.
Indeed. Need to get ICW on demand, one of us.
Yes, we really should. The Manifestos, Eddie Castle and Grant McIver will challenge the Glasgow Grindhouse of Looking Sharp and Krieger. Jason Reed and Coach Tripp will take on Andy Wilde and Saqib Ali. And finally, Leighton Buzzard, again, will face Kez Evans in a non-title matchup.
Look, I never like non-title matchups, but it's going to be a good match.
Yeah.
So, let him go. The first Leighton Buzzard match is on the 22nd, and the second Leighton Buzzard match is on the 23rd.
And, of course, we'll want to see both men get punched in the face, so it's perfect.
Indeed. There's news for Fear and Loathing on the 20th of November at the Garage in Glasgow. The first two competitors for the six-man ladder match at Fear and Loathing, which will give them the number one contender for the Zero G Championship. So the first two guys announced have been Levi and Luke Cairo. Also announced, BT Gunn will face Jack Jester in a King of Insanities match. And Shaw Samuels will face Jackie Polo.
TV's Jackie Polo.
TV's Jackie Polo. Let's talk about 1PW. You went to 1PW, did a little review. 2 minute overall, give us something.
Twist of Fate's available on Fight TV for $14.99.
It is. And I'm going to say something about the price. I think it's too high. It put me off buying it.
It is too high. Their next show is on the 18th of February. John Morrison and Ty Valkyrie will take part in the show in Lincoln. There you go.
They've apparently announced a 1PW, announced a brand new fan package, All Access. Make memories that last a lifetime with a totally unique fan experience. Tickets available now.
For about 200 quid.
Yeah. Anyway.
Oh, Wrestling NCL are back in action on the 15th of October at Anarchy in the Brewery. They have sold out another show. This show is The World at Large. Tell them who they're going to get to see.
Well, HG Drake will face Bad Boy G Money in what I believe is a low blow match, I think. It's just a whole rivalry of revivals around Lobos. And if you haven't seen the incredible, incredible promo video put together by Mr. G Money, which is different to his usual promo video, he's not walking his dog on this one. He's put together a fantastic package, really amazing. Go check that one out. Millie McKenzie will face Lizzie Evo. Great match. Lana Austin will face Casey. Great match. Kid Bandit will face Will Cruz. Poor Kid Bandit's going to get squished. Warhorse will be chasing Amir Jordan around the ring. Boisterous Behavior defend their tag team championships against the Sunshine Machine Boys. Liam Slater will defend the North NCL Championship against Joe Hendry. And Alenda Gentry. Zio Knox and Benji are also going to be in action. So it's going to be another great show. North Wrestling NCL have sold out the Anarchy Brewery for their last, I think, 10, you know, I can't remember how many times they sold it out right now. It might honestly be time to think about moving to a bigger venue.
Yeah. Yeah, I can understand that. Congratulations to them. It's brilliant.
Yeah, it's great. It's awesome. It's awesome to see North doing so well. I think they've got a great package. I think their video production is fantastic. When they do, they're available on independent wrestling TV, IWTV. They also have their own Patreon service where you can check out, and even some fan services. I just think all around what North do is great work.
Just a little bit of breaking news before we go to Pro Wrestling Chaos. Ooh. Progress Wrestling have just announced one of the matches for Snake Charmer in Cardiff.
Ooh, what's the new match?
Tom Dawkins versus Tate Mayfairs.
Oh, well, you know Tate Mayfairs is going to squish that jabroni.
Who's he ever beaten?
Tom Dawkins. Huh, didn't even make it into the Natural Progression series. Pro Wrestling Chaos. They have two shows coming up, both on the 26th of November. The All or Nothing, which is in the evening, and the Maiden Voyage, which is early in the afternoon. The Maiden Voyage will feature a tournament to become the Maiden of Chaos. Your latest obsession, Tonga, is the second name to have been revealed for the tournament. Previously announced was Rain Leverkusen. All or Nothing will feature a six-man ladder match that will give him the Heir to the Throne briefcase. Two names have been revealed for this, Harrison Bennett and Connor Mills.
Nice. Wrestle Carnival will not be back this year, but they will be back on the 29th.
By the way, you can get Pro Wrestling Chaos latest show on demand for $1.99.
For $1.99, that's a slightly better price. Wrestle Carnival will not be back this year. They will be back on the 29th of January with Carnival of Champions. All four names have now been announced for the future X Cup. Nino Bryant, George Lydon, and CJ Rawlings.
Where's your money?
I am only reading three names.
Nino Bryant, George Lydon. Oh, Kung Fu Mark True.
Woohoo! My money is on Nino.
I'm going to have to put my money on Kung Fu Mark True. I mean, one, Kung Fu. Two, he's a Power Ranger. He is. He is a teen with attitude, and that makes him a Power Ranger. So therefore, Kung Fu Mark True and the Kung Fu will win.
Sam Bailey will make his Carnival debut as Emerson Jane makes her return. Plus, in the main event of the match, Carnival champion Man Like Doris will defend his championship against his teammate, Leon Slater.
That's going to be a banging match.
There's going to be a lot of flying around in that match.
That's going to be a banging match. And, definitely can't take away from those guys. UKPW are in action on the 22nd of October with the return of Tables, Ladders, and Scares.
Oh, my.
Danny Black puts his interregional championship on the line in a ladder match. So far announced, it's going to be a fatal four-way, but Tommy Lawrence and Trashman have been announced so far. Final opponent yet to be named. Would you like to know a fact?
Go on, give me a fact.
Danny Black won the Interregional Championship in a ladder match at last year's Table Ladders and Scares.
I remember.
There you go.
And if you want to see it, you can see it for free on UKPW's YouTube channel.
Yeah, go check that damn match out right now.
That's an even better price.
Indeed. KM Lane squares off against Jack Kent in a grudge match. And Rex Armstrong will face Rocco Garcia as Harry Sefton accompanies him. And you see, there was a great storyline of Harry Sefton helping Rex Armstrong and his tag team partner, JJ Lynch, eventually become the tag team champions. But of course, most of those were tag team matches. I think JJ Lynch was out injured. And Harry Sefton. So Harry Sefton was a bit let down by this and decided to take it out on the boys. Some interesting background to the stories. That's what wrestling is. It's all about stories.
And speaking of stories, United Wrestling presents Day 7 Monster Bash on the 30th of October. Simon Quest versus Hakan in a trick or treat match. I like the sound of that.
Indeed.
Sunset Skip versus Rex Armstrong. Kira Chimera and Aluna Blue team up to take on the 8-7. The Meme Team, Adonis Payne and Artemis. We love you guys. Versus the Delightful Powers. It's looking like a great show.
Well, obviously the Meme Team are going to win that match because, you know, the official podcast of the Meme Team, apparently. Anyway, Wrestle Island. Islanders are back in action on the 27th of November with Cobra Kai Land. We've got the All Valley Under 23 tournament that gets underway. It will feature these four young competitors: Senna, Evan Kelly, Gaia Hoax, and Christy Quinlan of the Violent Gentleman Society.
Who you can see me interview if you have a look on our YouTube.
Indeed, go check that out, bodyslam.net. Plus, two championship matches, a six-man grudge match, and a Big Wind and Rewind match. I really look forward into finding out what the strange stipulation the Islanders promoters have come up on this occasion. They're always good for some entertaining new concept. RP Davey, Lance Rivera, Lucy Aaliyah, Aurora Tevez, Harley Hudson, and more all set to be part of that show.
Catch Pro Wrestling Monday Night Catch is back on the 7th of November at the Bread Shed in Manchester. Senna has issued an open door challenge to Scott Oberman. Not the greatest person to challenge, really.
Yeah, I believe it's actually been referred to as an Oberman door challenge.
That makes as much sense. Libby Evo will defend her Catch Pro Wrestling Championship against Chantel Jordan. Plus, the Enigma series returns. Lucia Lee versus Rio in a Block B match, and Lana Austin versus Emerson Jane in a Block A match.
Yes, and I have the rules somewhere for the Catch Pro Enigma series, which have been set put in place by the Greater Manchester Athletic Commission. It's somewhere. And then we've got some absolutely fantastic big news also regarding Catch Pro. Here we go. The Enigma Series rules as deemed by the Greater Manchester Athletic Commission. They are as follows. Enigma Series matches are one fall with a 15-minute time limit. Falls can occur via pin, submission, knockout, countout, or disqualification. Each combatant will wrestle the other three combatants in their respective blocks. Winners will receive 2 points. There will be a 1 point awarded if both combatants go to a time limit draw. Combatants who are disqualified or counted out will be penalized with a 1 point deduction. At the end of the block stage, the combatants with the most points in their respective block will move on to the final. In the event of a tie, the winner of the block stage matches will have the advantage and will go on to win. So whoever, if two people finish on 6 points, whoever won that their matchup will advance. At the end, the winners of A block and B block will compete in the final for a shot at the Catch Weight Championship. The overall winner must give the defending Catch Weight Champion 1 week's notice to prepare for the match. So no cash-ins. Good. I'm sick and tired of the cash-in. So I like that. Good on you, Greater Manchester Athletic Commission, who have also been in contact with us recently regarding a new championship that's going to be introduced to Catch Wrestling Pro. The Catch Wrestling Pro, brand new title, and the GMC have asked us to vote on a possible title contender, which will take place on the 5th of December. We've been given sort of four of mine, I really think, possibly could, so we'll be discussing this at a different point, but Chris Ridgway is one, Scotty Rourke is another, Joe Kessler is another, and 2-Bit. They've all got great, you know, Chris Ridgway was basically undefeated till he was defeated by 2-Bit. Scotty Rourke is on a phenomenal tear. Joe Kessler is the current catchweight champion, and 2-Bit, well, he beat Chris Ridgway. He brought the undefeated streak to an end. So either one of these guys could be a great challenger. It'd be interesting. Let me know your thoughts on who you think we should put forward.
I think it's a challenge because Ridgway started the year like nobody's business, and because he's been spending so much time in Japan, he's been a little bit quieter the second half of the year.
He's been amazing in pro wrestling, Noah, and I think he's only been defeated once in a tag team match.
Whereas Scotty Rourke has just been building and building over the whole year. Joe Kessler, catchweight champion, though. He doesn't need to say anything else. He's demonstrated exactly what he needs. 2-Bit is the only person I look at in there. And yes, he's got a victory over Ridgway, but he's not always the cleanest of wrestler to take part, is he?
No. I think it's for me, it's Ridgeway or Walk. I definitely think we should talk about this and send our submission through to the Greater Manchester Athletic Commission about this. Anyway, Phenomenal Elite Wrestling, are you going to be there?
Unfortunately, I am DJing that night. Friday the 28th of October, PEW return to action with Toil and Trouble.
Indeed, let us know the lineup.
There is a trick-or-treat street fight. Lance Rivera versus Jason Joshua. Big Daddy Unicorn. Brady Phillips and Riley Nova will be working together as a massive tag team to take on Jack Stars and Alana Stone. Bryden will take on the Vegan Prescott, and Ivy is going to have an open challenge. My man, Smashing Mike, will be taking on Chase Alexander, defending his internet championship.
I see what you did there, man. You tried to skip my boy H. Hood's match, man. You put some respect on that and just tell the people that H. Hood will be teaming with the incredible Ronnie Knox to face this PW team of Alana Blue and the Invisible Man. You know,
I don't need to. You've done it now.
Just terrible, you know. Well, I'll tell you what. Why don't you tell me about Riot Cabaret Wrestling? Because I know you're very interested in possibly attending this show.
I am. The Slap'em Grand at the Clap'em Grand on the 18th of October, which is next Tuesday. Nina Samuels will take on Millie McKenzie for the Women's Championship. Ooh, Nina Samuels holds that belt, holds it with pride. Millie McKenzie knows Nina Samuels well. This could be a great match. There will be a six-team tag team turmoil match. 0-1.
2-1.
Versus the CPF, the Close Personal Friends. Do we know which combination it is?
I believe it's going to be Newman and Black.
Excellent. Versus the Greedy Souls, versus FSU, versus Tate Mayfair's, and a mystery partner. Because Tate's obviously just battering off everybody. There's been so many people that want to be Tate Mayfair's partner, I'm sure.
Yeah, versus everyone wants to be with the greatness.
Versus Sunshine Machine. That's like the best tag teams in the UK altogether. You're only missing the 8-7.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Harley Hudson will take on Alexis Falcon and Libby Grace in a three-way dance. Session Moth Martina versus Charles Crowley in a match that will just be hysterical.
Indeed.
I wonder if he'll pull a beer out of his hat. Joe Lando takes on Murdoch, and Spike Trevay will be in action against the big man, Charles Samuels.
That'd be a good match. I'm interested in that match. Really, really am. Right, before we leave you, I'm going to just briefly talk some WXW news, because, one, I had an amazing time over in the World Tag Team Festival. I can't stress how well I was absolutely treated by WXW, you know, taken out for lunch. Everybody was so friendly and welcoming. I got to meet other people in the media, which was absolutely fantastic. And the shows themselves were absolutely amazing. I'm writing something. I'll give you a hint. It's called WXW Tag Team Festival Shows. British promotions need to step up a little bit more, because over that period, I can tell you 100%, I have not been to better shows. For everything, for atmosphere, for the matches themselves, they were literally the three best shows I've been to. And as for my beautiful wife who came with me, she also agreed that these have been her favorite shows to attend. So just pointing out there. And I also got some amazing merch. So I didn't really give a chance to show off properly when we did the review. So this is my WXW We Love Wrestling, Hate Racism, Something We Stand Behind 100%. The Hungarian Superstar, the Bull of the Village. I mean, this is an awesome t-shirt for Gulyash. My wife's new favorite wrestler, Mr. Peter Tihani in this amazing Rick and Morty inspired t-shirt, which I think is amazing. And of course, big, big shout out to the big bad kaiju who saw me in a well-worn big bad kaiju top, and he saw it and he invited me over to see him, and he provided me this brand new Long Live the Kaiju shirt. And again, I literally cannot thank him enough for that. One thing I did forget to show off last time actually was this Masha Slamovich lighter.
Awesome. Is
absolutely brilliant. So big thank you to Masha Slamovich as well. I'd really highly recommend you check out my really latest interview with Robert Dreisker that is available now on YouTube. This coming week, I am going to be talking to the Arrows of Hungary. I'm going to be talking to them about their WXW career and how they actually built the scene over in Hungary, because I overheard some great stories from Tassilo talking to another person about how, and I really, really want to give them this platform to talk about this. I know you're so gutted for this one because they are your favourite European tag team.
They are, and I am genuinely 100% pissed off that unfortunately I cannot be there. I have a very good excuse for why I can't attend.
You are a counsellor.
I am. I've got planning. I'll be.
You're doing a very important man. You're King Dan.
Unfortunately, yeah, I won't be able to take part in this interview. Guys, if you've got any questions for the Arrows of Hungary, message us on the old Twitter machine at that, T and Tights Pod. Give us a message and let us know if you have any questions for the Arrows of Hungary. But in the meantime, do you have any news from WXW?
I really do. Their next big show is Driver Champions. This is on the 12th of November at Driver Champions, as per the name. All of the championships will be on the line. That includes the new champions, the French Adores, after they won the World Tag Team Festival. Sorry, go.
Do you remember the WWE Crash'em game? The one where you had to drive the monster cars that were all themed and crash into each other? And...
I remember it, but I never played it, unfortunately.
Driver Champions, you see? That's what it is.
Seriously, oh my God.
Elliot's got to design us a WXW monster truck.
Excellent idea. But yeah, the Driver Champions, it's on the 12th of November, as per the name of the state. The new champions, tag team champions after they won the World Tag Team Festival, the French Adores, who had the most incredible finals match against Ambosses, Robert Dreisker and Icarus. One of the most insane tag team tornado, no count out match. It's definitely worth when it comes available. I know they've recently uploaded the first night of the World Tag Team Festival. They've also noted Metahan's return to WXW of We Love Wrestling 34. He takes on Axel Tisca. I really recommend signing up to WXW now. You will not only do you get WXW Germany, you also get IPW Germany, Body Slam Wrestling from Denmark, Rising Sun Wrestling and from Italy, you've got Bodyzoi from Belgium, Slam Wrestling from Canada. If we forget about what I did mention about Canada, bloody WXW, there's no need for NXT Europe, it exists, it's WXW. And yeah, if you want young lads, I really highly recommend for these young performers out there, go contact WXW Robert Dreisker. Contact him about spending a few weeks at the academy over in WXW Germany, because they are producing some incredible stars as of late. Anyway, back to what I was saying, the French Adores, they were incredible. They are new tag team championships, having one World Tag Team Festival. Alice Inc. will also be defending her women's championship after she won the Femme Fatales and then dethroned the Witch Bitch of Pro Wrestling, Baby Allison, to become the new WXW women's champion. Just a phenomenal competitor. Also, Maggot defends his Shotgun Championship and Tristan Archer defends the Unified World Championship. Have you noticed three of the champions are French?
Yes.
There we go. But of course, before that, We Love Wrestling, there's going to be a We Love Wrestling show in Bielefeld. It's
really?
Bielefeld, yes. Well, if you don't know...
Does Truman Roswell think that's going to happen?
I don't think Truman Roswell is going to... I mean, I heard, in fact, it was Truman Roswell who told me the Bielefeld doesn't exist. So... I have no idea where WXW are actually holding this show because, as I say, Mr. Truman Roswell, and I know he's got the knowledge, okay? He's not just a conspiracy theory nut. He is the man with the he knows everything, and he has told me explicitly that Bielefeld does not exist. So I don't know what WXW are quite doing. Anyway, with that said, just remember, don't feed the trolls. Have a great time. Watch British wrestling. Watch all wrestling. And sit team while you do it.